Adam looked up at the basement ceiling, not sure how long he'd been awake. There was no clock in the basement, never had been for as long as he could remember. He pushed himself up on his elbows. Weak gray light filled the line of slender windows at the top of the wall. He'd been dreaming. Something had woken him up. Then he heard the gurgle of a toilet flushing. A child appeared in the doorway in a corner across from the couch. A boy, 5 or 6, in blue underpants and a Spider-Man t-shirt. Dark hair matted on one side. A sour, suspicious look on his face.
"Who are you?" the boy demanded.
"I'm Adam," Adam said. "Uncle Adam," he clarified. The boy shook his head solemnly.
"My uncle's Travis. He lives in Texas."
"I'm your other uncle, your dad's brother."
"Why are you on the couch?"
"Kristen's, your cousins are sleeping in my room. My old room, what used to be my room." The boy scowled, as though none of this added up, and Adam had to admit it didn't sound very convincing. "Uncle Adam," he repeated. "You don't remember me?" The boy's eyes narrowed.
"Are you the uncle who smashed the piñata?"
"Jesus, that's what you remember? Did he actually owe apologies to the kids too?"
"The candy went all in the—"
"It was a piñata. It was meant to get smashed. And if they didn't want me to smash it, they shouldn't have given me a turn." The boy made a slow movement of his thumb beneath his chin, which, in the mental squint of just waking, looked to Adam downright menacing, like a mafioso's throat-slitting gesture.
"Nobody's allowed to download mods on my dad's computer," the boy intoned.
This nonsense alerted Adam to the absurdity of the conversation. The kid didn't even know he was awake. "It's okay, man. Go back to sleep," he said. Would have preferred to use something more personal than man, but he wasn't entirely sure whether this was Toby or Sam. Still, the child wordlessly obliged. He leaned his shoulder against the wall, padded back into the bedroom, leaving the door open, a gesture Adam found unreasonably touching, as though it were proof the boy didn't hate him, didn't fear him after all. He lay back down and stared up at the pocked tiles above him. The basement had a lurking, familiar odor, plaster and lavender air freshener locked in combat with something vaguely musty. He remembered what he'd been dreaming of. Music. Playing. Some sense of the sound still filled the corners of his memory. Taut, sharp notes like from a harpsichord, tripping down a thrumming bass line. A half-song, half-remembered. Once upon a time, he'd have made the effort to recall it, tried to reach into the cracks between sleep and waking to pull the chimerical sound out, sing it into a voicemail, the way you fixed a butterfly to a board with a pin. Occasionally, what he'd listened to an hour or so later wasn't even half bad. More often, though, what he heard was nonsense. And even before he stopped playing, he'd concluded that it was a waste of time. He wasn't actually dreaming of music. He was only dreaming of playing it. The texture and resistance of the keys under his fingertips. The beer residue and the metal mesh of the mic on his lips. The bass rumble from the stage through his torso. And more lately, that rarest feeling of getting picked up and carried by the music itself. No more distinction between him and the keyboard, between him and those he played with, between crowd and band, all of them racing along with the same roar, the communion of that, the freedom. The paisley sheet his mother had made up the couch with had gotten tangled around his thighs in the night. He yanked it up toward his chin, but without much hope of getting back to sleep. The stillness of the house was deafening somehow, like all the sleeping people were vibrating at a frequency only he could hear, his family ringing in his ears.